Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or afternoon, I should say, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Real Talk with Sherry and Shirley and Healing Life's Hurts groups on Facebook and Coffee, Prayer, and Share Time. Excuse me for a minute, I have to cough and I apologize. But there, today's topic is going to be when tragedy knocks on your door. This is, I'd appreciate it if you guys would call in and stand in prayer with me. The number is 347-857-1194. And it says, how do you handle the situation when tragedy knocks on your door? Come and join us today as I share with you the knock on my door this morning. And Sherry will probably share some of the knocks on her doors that she's had to handle. This is a very sensitive topic, and it can range from death of a loved one to disturbing news about, you know, that could involve your family. This happens to involve my 20-year-old daughter, Charity. So I ask and we ask that you come and support us as we pour out our hearts for a mother's love and prayer for her children. Come and share with us and cry with us, but please don't leave us alone in our pain, amen. So the number to call again and to talk with us is 1-347-857-1194. I put down some tags for us to talk about: separation, loss, prayer, reunion, desperation, hope, Jesus Christ, and restoration. And anyway, we apologize for the beginning of this show. It actually shows the seconds faster than what mine does. So I was almost prepared, amen. But hey, the Lord worked it out. We're here together. Sherry's here now. Good afternoon, Sherry. How are you this afternoon,
Annie? Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. Good to be here with you again today. And let's just try to open up to each other and help each other through another day.
Amen. Amen. Sherry, isn't that the truth? You know, I'd like to open up with this scripture in the Bible that gave me some strength today when I looked at it, and the Lord said, that's it, and that this is going to be the opening scripture today. And it comes from Psalms 103, 1 through 5. And it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives our iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with the loving kindness and the tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I don't know about y'all, but I know a lot of us could use this scripture every day of our life. It covers every area of our life. And God covers us and promises that he satisfies us with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And if I could just soar and spread my wings and lift them up like an eagle to God and just be renewed every second, every minute, every hour, every day, that's what I'm going to do. And I hope and pray that this prayer in Psalms 103, 1 through 5, will also become your prayer for your daily life. Amen, Sherry?
Amen. And you know, sis, when you said open up your wings and soar, you know, and today, if you could do that, you would be with your daughter today. There's no doubt in my heart, you would be with your daughter today. And you know, here's the thing about it. When trouble, you know, and tragedy knocks at your door, terrible times knocks at your door. The thing about it is it don't just knock at the door, greet you, and turn around and walk away. It actually comes in and sits down, and it decides to stay for a visit. You know,
yes.
And through those times, we need refuge. Through those times, you know, we have to look to the Lord. The reason why that it all comes about, nobody ever knows, because it's an unexplainable reason. It's just out of nowhere, you know, the storm hits you out of nowhere. And you find yourself just completely singled out, you know, from the rest of the world, seems like. And everything
yes.
is whizzing around, you know, so fast, you know. And you feel like you're laying flat on your back, you know, unable
right.
to move. And you're just waiting for this unwelcome guest to leave. Go on, get out of here, you know. But,
that's right.
you know, unfortunately it does stay a while. You know, that guest stays a while. And it seems to kind of like a vacuum cleaner just suck the life right out of us, you know. And but thank God, you know, we serve him and we look to him when we do that and we just turn it over to him. Then, you know, he's going to renew and rejuvenate and bring us alive again, you know. Only the Lord can do that. No man,
Amen.
Woman, nothing can do that for you. Only him. We want to
Amen.
Show you that. Amen.
I really appreciate that. That helped me a lot, too, and you're absolutely correct. We're going to start with separation. When I was younger, I was had two daughters, and they were taken away from me by their fathers, and they had more money than I had, and I was so emotionally distraught anyway, trying to figure out what's going on in my life, where am I going, what am I doing, I'm trying to be a good mother, and I was a good mother, there's no doubt about that, but I didn't have the money to fight for my children, and he kept turning at every point to the judges, and they would just say, well, visitation. Then it came to a point where he just left and took my kids, and I couldn't see my daughters, so I never raised my daughters, but I never gave up on them either, and I kept praying for them all, every day, every night, and it just broke my heart to have my child, my two daughters, the only daughters I have two sons. Well, I had three sons, and one's passed away, but anyway, I raised them, but my daughters, it was taken from me, you know, and that was just an evil, vain, deceit thing to get back at me, to hurt me, and they did a good job, but the Lord made a way for me and my two daughters to reunite again about 6 years ago, and I prayed, and I said, God, how do I forgive this man that took away the life that I gave? And he said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments and forgive. So, Sherry, I forgave this man of taking away my girls, and they came back into my life. Well, my youngest is Charity, and she's 20 now, and my oldest is 22, Shalina. And Charity came back to me, and she was such a mess. She had dabbled into witchcraft there for a while, and she would just have these bouts of fear come over her, and sleeplessness, and I mean, if she wasn't breathing right, or, you know, her heart wasn't beating the way she thought it would be, or she would see things on the wall like a centipede. One night we were laying in bed, and she always had to sleep with me, you know, because she was so scared to be alone. But she woke me up screaming one night, there's a demon on the wall, Mom. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, look, it's got all kinds of legs and it's crawling. Mom, get it, it's coming for me. It scared me half to death, you know. So I woke up out of the bed and I turned the light on, and it was a little centipede. To her, it was a demon coming to get her. And I used to say, Lord, I pray over my daughter, Lord, and I just, you know, protect her and get rid of this. And I denounced that evilness on her and everything. And she started doing pretty good, but then she, you know, I would have to sneak her Ativan into her drinks because she was scared to death to take her medications. So once I did that, she was able to sleep and she was calmer, you know, she was like a normal little girl, you know, teenage girl. But then I found out she had another problem, and it was called sexual addiction. I'd wake up to different boys in her bedroom that sneak through my window, and I was thinking, Lord, help me. What do I do here? I'm trying to be the mom she never had. I'm trying to be the friend that she wanted and missed out on. And every time I put my foot down, she would despite me and fight me every step of the way, would not listen. She was very unruly. So it was hard for me, you know, to look and see that baby that had so much love and needed me so much to a young girl who was so messed up. And I couldn't help her because she didn't allow me to help her, you know. When I did, you know, as far as calming her fears, I could do that. Well, she ended up going back to Missouri to her dad, and she came back again. She left, came back, and she was, you know, we had a better relationship this time. However, she was still, you know, being very promiscuous, still having the boys come in our screen bedroom window and stuff. And then she was started being hateful and a little bit violent toward me. I had to protect myself. I sure did. I wasn't about to let no child or anybody beat me up, so I protected myself and defended myself. And she was really shocked that I would do that, and I told her, I love you, but don't hurt me. You know, I said, I feel awful. And I had to pray and ask God to forgive me, but I wasn't about to let her hurt me anymore. And so then she left again, but every time she leaves and comes back, it takes a piece of me with her. You know, it's almost like that piece is just lost again. So she's been gone for about a year now, and she calls me a lot, and I call her, and we talk, you know, and I'll pray for her all the time, every day. But this morning, tragedy knocked on my door, and my daughter tried to commit suicide last night. God help us. Help me. You guys want real talk. This is real talk from real people. But I have a real God that's getting me through this, that's going to get my daughter through this. And it's going to take us some time, and it's going to take our prayers. But I know God is going to pull her through because he allowed her to live.
Amen.
There's something God has for her and I to do together. And I'm asking for your prayers. So she's okay. She had called her father to let her father know. And this man told her, and it really hurt her and it scarred her. So help me pray for my baby. He told her, next time, make sure the knife is sharp enough to get the job done. What kind of a father would tell their daughter that, or anybody that, for any matter, that's hurting, that feels like no one loves them and the world hates them and against them and they're alone in their pain and suffering? Who would tell anybody something like that? The enemy, that's who would tell you that.
Amen.
So I just want you to know that I feel for every parent out there that has ever gone through an attempted suicide or a suicide or a death of a loved one. And mine and Sherry's prayers are with you today, but by the grace of God, we can handle those things that are coming against us and our children and take it to the Lord in prayer, because he is the only one that we can draw our strength from.
Amen.
So, amen. Once again, call in. The number is 1-347-857-1194. We'll talk with Shirley and Sherry on the topic of when tragedy knocks at your door. Sherry, would you like to share for a little bit?
Well, this morning what happened with you, honey, you know, it's happened to me and it's happened to almost everyone out there. You know, in one way or another, tragedy has hit. You've got a phone call, somebody died. I mean, some way or another, it has happened. And the end result is most always the same, and it's grief and loss and heartache, you know.
Yes.
For some, it was the career that never took off, you know, might have been your tragedy. You know, that'd been pretty good if that's the only tragedy you've had. But for others, the marriage, you know, has went soul. You know, their marriage has failed, and they've had to start back over and pick up the pieces and do the best they could. You might have felt like that was your tragedy, you know. You know, maybe your companion cheated on you, you know, or got into drugs and things that caused it not to work, or the worst one, one of your babies, you know, grew up and died off and left you, you know, and that almost happened to Sister Shirley this morning, and that did happen to me. I lost in 2000 a 23-year-old son. He had a massive heart attack. You don't think of a 23-year-old having that massive of a heart attack, but he did. Drug overdose. Somebody you know to a drug overdose or a child, you know, car crash. These are just some of the events when sorrow swallows up our very core, pulling us apart, pulling apart, you know, pulling us seem like apart, all of the threads, just pulling all the threads out of us, one thread at a time that once kept our lives in some order. Now we're just cut and lying on the floor in what seems like a pile of nothingness. You know, that's where it gets you to, you know, when tragedy hits and you don't know where to pick up the pieces out. You don't know where to pick up the first piece of nothingness, you know, because you're just lost. You know, it's just, like I say, it just hits you out of nowhere. But it is when it's the worst possible scenario and it's played out right in front of our faces and we feel like all is lost and it's hopeless and, you know, and that we've, you know, introduce this uncomfortable emotion that we're feeling. It's called heartache. It's called heartache.
Yeah.
You know, and the worst thing that you can do with a heartache, when you fight it too hard, it's like hitting your head against the wall. Ignoring this pain and loss just makes everything even worse. I know I've been there. Sister Shirley, she's been there. You know, many of you out there have been there. And when we ignore and suppress and deny pain, it seems like it digs deeper into us, you know, and it grows like a cancer until we become incapable of moving and thinking and feeling. We kind of even get to a stage where we're just numb, you know.
Yes.
You know, how could, and you feel like you're just going through a dream, and you feel like, okay, you know, it's just a nightmare. I'm going to wake up. Everything's going to be okay. My life's going to go back to normal. It's going to be okay.
You can,
you know?
Yeah.
And here's what I found, that it has helped me through my dark nights of my soul, is to just be able to know that I can call out to the Lord. Do we got a caller?
I think so.
Let's let our caller talk.
Okay.
Do you want to say something, honey?
Oh, I don't have much to talk about except for, you know, I've never really had a tragedy, but other than, well, I guess I did. My son beat me 3 times, so I guess I did.
Mm-hmm.
And my nephew tried killing me. That's a tragedy. You forget about these things until you actually think about them, I guess.
Amen.
But,
and that's definitely a tragedy.
Yeah. But
tragedy,
I always had someone there to back me up and support me in every case. So I never really acknowledge that it was.
Amen.
Oh.
When tragedy comes to your door, you know, and then sorrow knocks on it, and, you know, it throws you completely off, you know, and you're not expecting it. You don't really know how to handle it, but to know that you have a Lord there, that you could call on Him, it gives you security. It's kind of like having an extra blanket in the house in case the electric goes off, you know. But it's even better. It's even better, you know, the warmth of the Lord that He can just wrap you up in, you know, and you can just call out to Him and to comfort you and to give you peace with stuff and to help you through. I pray that each one of you out there that don't know Him today, that you'll open up your hearts and your lives and just let Him help you, you know, because you never, if you're not going through a tragedy, you never know when one's going to hit you. You never know, because listen, they don't send out an invitation and say, I'm coming to your house. you know. They just show up out of nowhere.
That's right. And, you know, what is really strange, too, is sometimes God prepares you for some things. You just feel uneasy about something, and he'll give you dreams. And some people, you know, they have visions. But the last three nights I've been telling my friend, I said, you know, I've been having these dreams about hospitals. And I said, I don't know. And, you know, one was about my heart. And then another lady that was in there, and she said she was fine. She was going home. And then the other one was kind of full of confusion, and I was with my cousin, who I've not seen in years since I was a little girl, but I'm friends with her on Facebook, and it was her, and she's crying in this bed, and she's holding my hand, and she said, please don't leave me, please don't leave me. And I said, I'll never leave you, I promise, I'll be right here for you, I'm going right here with you. Well, then this morning, I get the call about my daughter trying to kill herself last night, and she's in the hospital. And it hit me like, oh, wow, Lord, hospital. Isn't that something, how Lord can kind of strengthen you? Because I've been in his word more. I've been studying about things more. And I've been, you know, it's just amazing how God can get you ready for that storm that's coming your way if you just listen to the little minor details that we think are minor. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Because he'll prepare you for that, you know. And that's what he was doing. He was preparing you for that. And he was getting ready for the storm. He knew you would need that strength, you know, that inner strength from him. And he knew that you would need the strength from the Word of God where you've been seeking it closer. And God, he will do that for us.
Yes, yes. And, you know, there's only another time in my life, you know, I've lost my father and some aunts and uncles and stuff, you know, which I really knew, never knew them. And but my son, when I woke up and found my son dead next to me, my baby, I was freaked out. But out right before his funeral, I was sitting on the edge of my mama's couch. And all of a sudden, it was like a video player just went across my mind. And it showed me where God had been telling me things about my son. And I seen it, and I remembered it, and I knew it. A lot of people call it a deja vu, but I'm sure it was God letting me see. I was trying to prepare you, you know. And my son died of pneumonia and respiratory failure. And but it's just so strange because, you know, God was warning me in this dream about something, and I just didn't know what, but I would just say, whatever it is, Lord, protect me and give me strength, you know. And I think, I don't know what I think, you know, Sherry, you mentioned feeling kind of numb, and, you know, you were praying with me earlier, and I felt really, really numb, and just no words would come to my mind, just numbness. And I was thinking, but you know what, God, you spared her life, and I thank you for that. And she's in a hospital where she's going to get help and she's going to get treatment. And she's agreed to go to a 30-day inpatient treatment to get some help. And she told me, she said, Mom, you know, the ironic thing is they put you in a co-ed hospital with girls and boys my age. And she said, if they just knew. And I said, well, you know, Charity, I know you have a problem with sex and you think sex is love, but I've told you, baby, sex is not love, because you're just going to keep going through them like you do your tissues when you're blowing your nose. I said, because ain't none of them going to stick around. That is not love. She said, I know, but you know what's strange, Mom? And I said, what? She said, I'm not even thinking about that when I talk to a guy in here. She said, I'm actually focusing on myself for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And I thought, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And I asked her, I said, well, Charity, can I ask you, why did you try to kill yourself with that knife, honey? What happened? Well, she's always been in abusive relationships, because that's all she grew up with around her father. He was very verbally abusive, and he also molested her. And that's the only thing she knew how to take out her frustrations. And she's kind of heavy set, but she's a beautiful girl, you know. But she just doesn't, she wants to be loved so bad by a gentleman, but there isn't going to be a gentleman that's going to really truly love her, I told her, till she starts to love herself. And, you know, she was listening to me and stuff, and she said, Mom, you know, you're right. She said, there are so many girls up here that have gone through what I'm going through. And she said, that man, Robbie, was her boyfriend, and she said he beat her pretty bad. And she said, that just put me over the edge with everything else that's happened in my life. She said, I just wanted to end it all, Mom. I said, but Charity, you're scared of death. She said, not at that moment. And I remember saying that on the show not too long ago. When you get so far down, you don't want that person to have the satisfaction of hurting you. You'll do it yourself. And you don't think about the consequences, you know. And so I'm just thankful that she's in the hospital and she's doing okay and she's going to go to treatment. You know, there's this, I was reading this thing and it reminds me so much of Charity and I wanted to share it with you if I can find it. It's about wanting so much to be normal. But you know what? Lord must not have wanted me to read it because I certainly can't find it right now. Isn't that amazing? Here it is right here. I'll read it to you real quick. It says, pretending to be normal, doing your best to act like you're okay day after day, week after week, month after month, it just gets so exhausting. And I can relate to that, you know, because there was times in my life when I was going through all those tragedies that I wanted to act like I was okay around my mother and my stepdad or my brothers and sisters and all my friends and everybody, because I darn sure didn't want them to know that I was being sexually and physically abused and mentally in the house. You know, how embarrassing. Your friends find out, you know, they'll turn away from me too. So I tried to act like I was so normal, but in my heart, I think they really knew that something was really wrong, you know. I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
It does. It does, sis. You got to be honest. You got to hit it head on. You got to be honest. You got to be honest with yourself, and you know, and you have to be honest with the people around you. You know, one time I knew a family, and their daughter died, and they told the other children that she had died in a car accident. When in truth, it was an overdose. You know, it was an overdose. And see, this kind of lying, this kind of just not hitting it head on, and, you know, it just adds to it. It throws fuel right to the fire. In fact, it counterproducts, it slows down the healing of any kind. It won't let it happen. It can't let it happen. You know, say you went through a breakup in your marriage and stuff, and you know, and you tell your children, you know, that their dad is going on a trip or whatever, you know. You kind of sugarcoat it. You see what I'm saying? And that's what that family did with their other children. They sugarcoat it. And the only thing it's doing, I mean, sometimes you have to face it head on. You have to be truthful about the whole thing, you know, even to yourself. And you got to go through all the old nasty details. You don't want to, but you got to, you know, and that's the only way that you can start the healing process, you know.
Yes.
See, a lot of times, you know, children, they already know the truth anyway. They're a lot smarter than what you think. They really are. They figure out stuff. You know, I put a little thing on the site there, and when you get a chance, you girls, go on there and read it, you know. I think that Robin read it this morning. And I was reminded of something my son said there. You know, he asked me, he confessed to a lie, you know, and asked me to forgive him. And then he turned around and asked me about something. And we were putting some stuff in some boxes, put in the storage. And I thought, oh, Lord, he's put me on the spot. You know, how do I tell this child the truth, you know? But I looked into his face, you know, and I saw, you know, Christ in his face. I could just see it, you know. And I thought, okay, I got, you know. So we was completely honest with each other, you know, and it brought memories back this morning with something that God gave me, and he brought a memory for me. And even tomorrow is his birthday and his brother's birthday. I had twins, with identical twins, and I've shared this before, and Sister Shirley, you know, and I think Sister Robin, too, I've shared it with her. I had to celebrate that day tomorrow with one, and I'm, you know, yearning to see the other one so bad, you know, and just hold it and wish him a happy birthday. And I still can't, I'm still going through steps. You know, you got to be honest with yourself, and you got to say, you know, it's going to hurt. You got to know it's going to hurt. And there's steps that you go through, you know, that you're going to cry. You know, you are going to cry. When tragedy hits, it just breaks your inner being. You're busted up inside. You're going to cry. You're going to scream out. You're going to sob. You're not going to be able to sleep. There's steps you have to go through. But
yes.
What I found is to let the Lord guide you through all those sporadic, chaotic emotions that you're going to be feeling, because you will feel them. They will come. You're human. That comes any time that you go through any kind of loss, you know, and it's natural. It's normal. It's okay. God created us that way. And there's not anything that we won't feel that the Lord didn't feel too. Because, like
right.
I said, that's why he was born and sent human in flesh and made flesh, you know. He has went through it too, you know. And
yes.
So you're going to go through it, and it's normal. But learn to just open yourself up to him and just say, Lord, guide me. You know, show me how to get through this, you know. I don't know how to do it, Lord. I'm at a place, and I don't know how to do it, you know. But I'm looking to you, Lord. You help me through it. See, you can't, but he can. He told me that. He said, no, you can't do
That's
it.
That's right.
But you let me help you, and I can, and you can through me. You know, don't force yourself try to keep moving on through stuff, you know, and ignoring it. And it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work.
We have a call. We have a caller, and we're going to see if we have a caller. Would you like to share anything? Area code 919, would you like to speak, or would you just, you don't have to? Anyway, you're right, Sherry. You know, and there's a lot of feelings that, you know, come when, especially when they're so close to your heart, and you lose those children or your loved ones, or you almost lose them to suicide, like I did my daughter last night, you know. You go through those feelings of remorse, and you say, God, couldn't I have done something better? Could I have said something that might have changed her mind or made her feel better about herself? Could I have been a better mother while she was here? And all those answers for myself were yes, yes, yes. God says you did what you could. People have to be willing to listen to you, you know, and take your advice and everything to be able to change their thought process. But did you try hard enough, Shirley, to help your daughter? And I'm thinking, Lord, there's something missing. I missed something here. So, but I'm just thankful that God gave us another chance to work things out and to try to figure out, you know, what I can do better this time for her. Not for me, for her, if that makes sense. Caller, are you there? 919 area code, would you like to speak or prayer request? That's okay. Anyway, I was listening to this here, and it's a little reading, and it said, God will carry us through every storm and give us strength to make it. Don't carry your mistakes around with you. Instead, place them under the feet of God and use them as stepping stones. Never regret. How do we never regret, Sherry? You know, I'm regretting right now, and I know some of that is the enemy, but most of it is a mother's heart for her child. Sherry, explain to me how am I going to get over this? How, you know, I know how I am, but I just want people to hear, you know, what the Word of God says about that. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, first of all, you express yourself. That's what I was talking about there a while ago. You express yourself to the Lord. You completely open yourself up and you express yourself to Him. And you spend time with Him, and you let the Lord spend time with you. You know, this is a time to step back, you know. Remove yourself from the world if necessary, and you do get to that point where you just feel like nobody's there except for you. You're the only one in this world. You're the only one that's going through that, you know. And you take this time to just step back and remove yourself from everything and just empty yourself out to the Lord. You forget about the makeup. You forget about all the next holiday around the corner. You forget about all the chores. You forget about all that stuff, you know. All that stuff seems so senseless now because you're going through a tragedy in your life. You know,
right.
Give Him time. Give Him your time. Let Him be present with you. Give Him your time, and He's certainly there to give you His time, you know.
Amen. Call. We have another caller, Sherry. Would you like to say anything about this topic or prayer or request or anything? Okay, go ahead, Sherry. We're just here to support.
Nice.
Thank you, and God bless you for that. God bless you for calling in and supporting us today. And we pray that whatever is going on in your life, that tragedies that have touched you, that we will pray over you as well. Hello. Hi, how are you?
This is Jerry. Jerry, how are you doing?
Hi, Jerry. I'm okay, by the grace of God.
I've kind of come in on the end of this. What has happened? What did I miss? Oh,
my daughter tried to commit suicide last night, 20 years old, with a knife.
Right.
She's in the hospital right now, and we're just talking about that.
Okay.
Yeah, when tragedy knocks at the door,
Well, you know, I'm an evangelist myself, and I've been doing a lot of studying of this about this topic. It's funny I happened to call in and hear some of this of depression and anxieties and things like that. You know, and the world is painting a picture out there, Shirley, that it's all, you know, doctors have the answers, everyone can, you know, do this or that. You know, you couldn't have done nothing. You couldn't have changed nothing, Shirley. It's the enemy. And, you know, the world's not accepting that the enemy is the one that plants these thoughts in our head. The enemy is, you know, there's demons that come at us all the time. Even as Christians, they are coming to mess with our mind. Even as Christians, a Christian myself that's been serving God a long time, the enemy comes to me with depression and thoughts of suicide sometimes. And so we're not, just because we're Christians, we're not, you know, beyond being tested by the devil.
Amen.
If your daughter is not living for God, I don't know if she is or not, then she's really free to be tempted by the devil. And
she's,
you know,
not.
It ain't short. It's nothing you can do or nothing you failed at, Shirley. I don't want the devil to sit there and beat you up over it because, you know, that's what the enemy would like to do. I just heard you say, what could you have done different? I say to you, probably nothing. Because you know what? The enemy is in your daughter's mind. And the satanic spirits are coming against her, not you. So, you know, she has to learn to recognize that. And she needs to be prayed over for deliverance from these things that cause her to feel this way. You know, if people think I'm crazy, like, you know, when the comedian, what was his name, died recently?
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. I posted thing on my Facebook page talking about the enemy and how Satan is the one that causes this. Well, Robin Williams had the best doctors in the world to help him. And he even confessed himself when he got on stage that these spirits took over him, that the laughter and all that people saw was not him. It was a spirit inside of him. And then when he would go home at night, he was completely depressed and suicidal. Those spirits had control of him. and made him, yeah. Everybody thinks he was the funniest man alive, but he was really the saddest man alive. You know, and
amen.
That's what your daughter's feeling. You know, I know I'm taking a show up right here, but I'm really tired of people, you know, turning to the doctors, turning to everybody else, and they really don't turn to the source that is out to destroy us, and it's the devil and all his demons are out to destroy each and every one of us and take our souls to hell. And that's really the fact of the matter.
Amen.
And you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. We have to bind that spirits off of them and call them out of them, and we have to pray God's word over them and protection, you know. And my daughter, she was serving the Lord there for a little bit. I even got her singing at church, you know, and then all of a sudden she just let them come back on her, and she quit serving the Lord. And, you know, and like we were talking earlier, you know, when you turn away from the Lord, 7 times 7, you know. So we, I don't know, I pray for her, but it's like you said before, Jerry, it's you can't, you know, make them and will them to do something. You know, they have to want that change, and they have to want better for their lives. But, you know, like the old folks say in the church, if it wasn't for my grandmother, I wouldn't be here. So if they can do it, why can't we do it? Because that was a lie from the enemy right there out of my mouth. Did you hear how that happened and how easy that was?
Yes.
And God said, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. Because what, you know, the prayer of a righteousness prevaileth much, period. So I'm going to keep praying for everybody,
yeah.
Children, and especially mine, you know.
Yes.
Amen. And
yeah.
Sister Shirley, you know, we know, you know, being Christians, to spot the stinker in the whole thing. I call it spot the stinker. Because Satan is the prince of this world, and he offers this world nothing but lies and deceit. He offers people in this world, you know, quick fixes, you know, immediate gratification, you know, just pass it off, just blow it off. Our generation, this world had rather take a pill. They'd rather take a drink. That is what he offers. That's the quick fixes. Whatever they could do to dull the pain and just keep moving, you know, but wrong. You know, sometimes we need to be still, do nothing, and just open ourselves up and face it head on and introduce our heartaches to the dearest friend that we could ever have. You know,
amen.
He knows what we're going through. He knows, you know, and he is there. But it does his heart good, like I said, when we take it to him and we ask him for help, you know. But tragedy is going to hit us and seem like you don't get over one till something else is hit. And that's the enemy, see. That's a stronghold. Like I said, spot the stinker. You got to know who it is, you know. You got to know who you're dealing with. That's the first part of being honest, okay. I know exactly where this attack has come from. I know exactly. Who's spot the stinker. And then sometimes you got to pull that word up, you know. That's the reason why the Lord was giving it to you, building you up, see, getting you ready for that. You got to, you know, you got to have that staying strong, you know, to face that tragedy head on, and you have to just back Satan down and say, enough, you know, you're not going to continue doing this to me. You know, I know who I am in Christ. I know who lives inside of me. And out of my way, Satan, and you've got to just, you know, surrender to the Lord and let him help you, and that strength will come. It's there. He's there.
And that's exactly what I've been doing. You know, I've been praying and just listening for God, you know, and he's given me this scripture. And, you know, this is funny because I never really remember. I don't really remember this scripture, but it's from Psalms 144, 1 and 2, and it says, praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands. Listen to this, Jerry. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skills for battles. He is my loving ally. He is my fortress and my tower of safety, my rescuer. Isn't that amazing?
And what scripture was that, Shirley?
Psalms 144, 1 through 2.
Okay. I was just
Psalms
91 a few weeks ago. I was reading one Sunday morning. And actually having a little church service, me and my wife in our room, and that was talking about God's our refuge and our strength and our fortress mm-hmm. and all that. And I actually wrote a song. We wrote a song about it after that, and I hope
awesome,
to have that
man.
Out sometime. Yeah, sure did. And it's got all that in the song. You're like, wow. And then you're saying the same thing again in another scripture that says the same thing. So it's pretty neat.
Yes, Psalms 91. You're correct. Because, see, when I first started reading toward the end, I said, that's Psalms 91, isn't it? And I looked
mm-hmm.
up, no, it's 144. And I said, well,
wow.
Thank you, Lord, because that gives me hope, because I know God is my rock, and I know he has trained
mm-hmm.
me, and he has given me skills, his word, his love, his strength, his Holy Spirit, and he's
yes.
given me the power over the enemy to lay his hands
yes.
off
Hallelujah.
My family in the name of Jesus. And we have scripture
yes.
after scripture to back this up. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Just amazing.
And John 16:33 there, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, you
yes.
ye may might have peace in him. In him.
Right.
We might have peace in the world, he said, ye shall have tribulation.
Yes.
Tragedy's gonna hit. Things is gonna
yes.
hit us. We're gonna have troubles. But he said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And if he has, we can with him in us. We can
yes.
overcome it. We can come through it, you know.
Yes.
That gives you strength right there. That scripture right there will give you strength, sis, and give whoever's
Amen.
Out there two things, you know. And God's preparing you for a battle, maybe, like he did you, sis. You know, he may be preparing somebody out there for a battle. They may be having some dreams and things, you know, going on. And you know, submit to the word of God. You know, sink yourself in that, because I'm telling you, that'll help get you through, and he's there. He'll carry us through.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
Amen.
Right.
I
Amen,
think biggest,
Jerry.
Biggest, I think one of the biggest lies that even pastors tell people when a new convert comes to Christ, you know, they make them believe that everything's going to be okay. You know, and everything is
uh-huh.
not. That's when the devil starts really
mm-hmm.
coming at you. You know, and that's when you really have to put your armor on and really have to choose to serve
mm-hmm.
God. And, you know, people, you know, anybody I lead to the Lord, I tell them, you know, it's going to get harder for you. You got to be real with
yeah.
people. Let them be expecting. I mean, if you get
Amen.
Someone saved, lead someone to
mm-hmm.
the Lord, and then they're expecting everything to be fine and dandy from there on out, and then they get hit with this big trial or something, they're ready to give up, you know. And
yes.
we're not preparing even the people who are leading to the Lord for the battle, which is we know
right.
is going to come. But I've been serving God for 30 years or more now, and the battle's still coming me very often, because I'm stepping out further
yeah.
and further for the Lord, so the enemy sends more and more arrows against me. You know, it's just
that's
expected.
Right.
And
that's right.
And I need both of you ladies. I need both of you ladies right now, because the enemy's is coming against my marriage. I just recently got married 2 months ago, and the enemy has come against. We're both evangelists, and the enemy is trying to destroy it. Has us even
yes.
separated right now? And I need see even me serving God for a long time. I'm not perfect. The enemy comes at me, comes at her, and he will do anything to destroy us and our marriage. And our home, our lives, and our testimony. He wants to destroy
yeah.
that, so we won't have anything to tell. You know, people will lack confidence in us, you know. So
right.
please, if y'all will pray for me, you ladies of God and anybody listening, please.
Really, let's
lift
have
up,
prayer for him.
Even my wife.
Let's have prayer
will
for
we...
him.
Hello?
What'd you say?
I said let's
Sherry.
Have prayer for the young couple.
Okay.
All right,
yeah,
go ahead, Sharon.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, Lord. Lord, we bring this young evangelist, Lord, Jerry, before you, Lord, and you know who he is. You know where he lives, where he's calling from. You know all about him, Lord. You even know where his heart is. That, you know, it's fixed on doing something for you, and the enemy has raised up against him, Lord. But greater is he that is in Jerry. And that is us, in us, and we're coming in agreement, Lord, today, and in his little wife, Lord, that, you will put that love back to work, Lord, in their marriage, in their home, Lord. You can do what no one else can do, Lord, in every circumstance, in every situation. There's nothing impossible, Lord, with you. And, Lord, we bring them before you today and their marriage, Lord, and their relationship and their journey and their walk, Lord, with you. And, Lord, let them enjoy the service that you have called them into, Lord, and let their love just go so deep. Lord, use them in a mighty way that one day we're going to hear on a TV show or something, this young couple, and they're just going to accelerate and just keep it going and going and going, and they're going to win souls for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to step on the scene of this marriage and every young couple, Lord, that has made a decision to follow you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to step into every home and dissolve anything that's not, oh, hallelujah, that is not like you, Lord, in their marriages and stuff, that it just be taken care of and dried up at the roots before it ever gets started, Lord. We lay this matter at your feet, Lord, and we expect it, Lord. And we're going to expect a good report, Lord. Whose report are we going to believe, Lord? We're going to believe your report.
Yes.
You know, because we know, we've seen you at work in our life. And, Lord, there's nothing at all that you can't take care of, Lord. And so we ask this in your name, Jesus, and we agree together.
Yes.
Your people, Lord, agree together. Amen.
Yes.
This is
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord. Amen.
Sister, I want to thank you for saying young evangelist. I'm not that young no more.
You sound it.
I'm pushing 50 years old, but I'm not no young little guy
yes,
no more.
Yes, you're still young. You know I'm going to say that because that's about my age, and that's all I'm saying.
Thank you,
but I appreciate
Lord.
That.
Okay.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome. Lord. You have a
Even
wonderful
in our
day.
Times are- Even through our trials and testings and tribulations, the Lord even brings joy into our hearts. Amen. What a wonderful God we serve, you guys. What a wonderful, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just glad to call her. Yes, sir.
You hang in there and don't beat yourself up. And you cover that girl in prayers like I know you have. And that's all you can do, you know, and help her to realize that these are spiritual things coming at her. These feelings are real to her, but these feelings aren't caused by God. These feelings are caused by the enemy, you know.
Yes,
and people need to recognize that. I speak to people all the time, whether they're in like marriage problems or financial problems or just thinking wrong. You know, those kind of things. The enemy plants in our head, and we've got to have our minds captive by the Holy Spirit and God, and let Him. And it's hard. It's a daily thing to keep, you know, pressing toward. Because every day we're all filled with all kinds of little thoughts and things, and whether we take them or rebuke them is up to us. You know?
Amen.
Yes.
So just keep praying for her and talking to her about these things. And
oh,
I think
I will.
You'll see a change. Cast these evil things that are coming at her out of her.
Amen.
I will.
Make
y'all
sure. Because it does no good to cast out of someone that doesn't know the Lord and is not full of God. So she's got to be saved and right with the Lord first, or they're going to come back. You know that. So
I know that.
That's the first process, is make sure she's right with the Lord. And then we can get the demons out of her.
Yes, I believe that. That's what I was talking about with the, you know, with the tags that I put on here, the separation, the loss, the prayers, the reunion, the desperation, the hope, Jesus Christ, and the restoration, because God is a God of restoration, and God will give, you know, people in her path to speak life into her, you know, and to speak hope into her and to talk to her about the Lord Jesus if I'm not there, you know. But I'm going to tell you, she's going to hear more from me, and she's going to dream more about me talking to her about the Lord, because I'm just going to fill her spirit up with so much Jesus that she's just going to bust out screaming, "Mom, help me. What do I got to do to be saved?" Amen. That's what I intend to do. Because I have that devil on warning right now in the name of Jesus that you have no hold over any of these children, any people in this world anymore in the name of Jesus, because we serve a bigger and a mightier God, and we know where our end is coming from, and we know where your end is too, but we're going to Christ. We're going to a better place. So
yeah.
You ain't got nothing to fear.
Doesn't it say in Corinthians, yes. I don't know which one, which chapter, I think it's, I don't want to say any certain, but in Corinthians it says that the wife sanctifies the husband sanctifies the wife, and they both sanctify the children, our offspring, are sanctified under you, and your husband, you know, the same. By our prayers and our belief, we're sanctified amongst each other, and that's the scriptures there. You know, we can lift each other up. We can help protect each other as much as we can, but it still has to be a person's choice.
That's right. And I believe God's going to work on her. You know, she's got a tender heart. She just
to reach right to the bottom, get to the bottom of things. Sometimes you've got to hit bottom before you can look up. You know,
that's right.
Before you'll ever look up, you know. Sometimes you got to get as low as you can get and it just come back up, you know. But like we was talking yesterday on our program, that's starting all over. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's everything right with that, you know. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up, you know. But the only way that it's too late to start over is when we have no more breath left inside of us. She can start over. And you're right on giving her scripture and just feeding it to her and letting her. You can't shove it down her neck to say, honey, you know, like I said, the two disciples that was passing by said, gold and silver have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. You know those scriptures. You know where your strength comes from. And that's what you offer to her. 2 Timothy 3:16 there, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, so those scriptures, that's what, when you talk to her, you work that in, and that is going to sow the seed. And, you know, if we feed something, if we take a child and we feed it or we feed a plant, what's going to happen?
Grow.
So that's the same way with your daughter, honey. You know, what the devil intended to be bad, God is going to turn it around for the good. And see, this is against you, too, because God is starting to use you more. God used you so that I would step up to my calling. And we're working together now. And we know why we're working together. I don't care if anybody ever sees my face. You know, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. I don't care if anybody ever knows my name or remembers it. You know, just remembers. I remember a talk show happened, and this is where I heard it from. You know, and I got the word of God that day. That's what I want right there. That's what I'm at. That's what I want to do. I want to lead somebody to Jesus. You know, and if the Lord takes me out of here, I don't know when that is. You know, they say I got this cancer. If comes my time to go, I want to be ready to go. You know. But this is what time I got left. This is so important to me right now, you know. I want to lead somebody to Jesus. I want to lead a lot of somebody's to Jesus.
Like I told
my friend a while back, I said, I'd like to stop right here, Tammy, and just go up and down the street and say, come on, come on, come on, come on. You're going to glory with me. You're going to glory with me. I want to take you to glory with me. I said, but it don't work like that. It don't work like that, you know. But I'd love to. I'd love to be able to do that. That's my heart's desire. I want to see people, all that I can get with my time left, make it to heaven.
Yes.
I want to see people gain strength, you know, in the Lord and gain ground with Him, you know. Not for me.
Yes. Amen.
But for their sake, you know, because they need Him. They need Him. They're going to need their help. You know, we're going to die off. We're going to leave them, you know. But the Lord never leaves us. He's always there right to the end of our life. You can't have no better friend than that.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I just love Sherry's, her testimonies and the way she speaks about the Lord. She just, You just touch my heart, Sherry, and I just love it so much that the Lord's put us together, and I'm so thankful to have Evangelist Jerry here today with us, too, because I really draw on a lot of strength from you, too, and your words of wisdom and knowledge and coming from your heart, you know, and the Word of God. And I just want to say thank you guys very much. I appreciate it so much.
Thank
you, know,
you,
it could
sir.
Have been worse than what it's turned out to be, but it didn't. God has another plan.
That's right.
So if there's anyone out there listening within the sound of my voice on this show, if you're struggling with, you know, wondering if God is real or wondering if he loves you or if he wants to forgive you or if you really, you know, want to know about him, please call in. The number is 347-857-1194. Leave a comment. Talk to us, you know, and we'll talk to you about the Lord, and we'll lead you to the Lord, and we'll not leave you helpless. We will give you the study plans. We will do whatever it takes to get you on the right track and to let you know that trouble's going to come your way, but in a different way this time, because you have someone on your side who promised never to leave you nor forsake you, and he gives you strength when you're feeling weak, and he sends people like, you know, he sent Jerry on here today, which really touched my heart to strengthen me even more besides just Sherry, you know, and God knows what we have need of before we even ask it. So if you're, you know, you need to know more about the Lord and you want some more strength and you want some peace that's going to come in the midst of your trials, then please call in, leave a comment. We're praying for you and we love you.
Well, ladies, I'm going to get off of here. I appreciate being with y'all and praying with you. And,
Jerry, before you go, let me give you a scripture that the Lord just laid on my heart, and it's for you, it's for me, and it's for all the evangelists out there.
Okay.
And it's Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Hey, I want to be in that number.
Amen.
At liberty. Luke 4:18. Read it, brother. Mark it. Put it on the front of your Bible to help give you strength. It's to the ones that are, he has a calling on their lives, you know. It's not about us anymore. It's about him.
Amen.
In a minute, I'm
going to be blessed, okay?
You too, Jerry, and we're praying for you. Just know that.
All right.
Check
bye-bye.
Back in with
all
us
right.
when you hear us on here.
I know he's not. He's not done with you ladies either. I'm like you, Sister Sherry. I've been praying. I've been, like you were saying, I've been chomping at the bit to just get out on the streets and start telling everybody I can. I think God is calling us stronger in these days. These days are closing down, and it's just he's given those that really want it to a desire in their heart and a zeal to want to do that. And that's what me and my wife's been talking about, actually going out in the streets and doing it. And what does the devil want to do? He wants to divide us and separate.
Yeah, he said go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in.
Yeah.
Compel, that's the word. That's the key word right there. Look that word up, brother.
Yeah,
it'll raise you real good just to look that word up. Compel.
And he also says when I come back, he also says when I come back, I'm not coming for those who are well. I'm coming for those who need a doctor, who need healing.
Amen.
You know, he's not coming back for the ones that are already saved in the church and right with him. He's coming back for those who are lost, those who are hurting. You know, even if it's just that one. He's coming back for that one, you know what I mean? And comforting to know that he doesn't give up on us, you know?
Amen.
A lot of them
give
up on him.
Yeah, it's like a sheep, see? He left the whole fold to go after that one.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Oh, glory, I love
it. 99.
Yeah, he left the 99. You know why? Because he knew they could fend for each other. They could look out for each other. But that one had nobody. And then... Mm-hmm. I was that one lost lamb that he came.
I was that one lost lamb at one time.
Yeah,
amen.
We all.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm so glad that he came after me and rescued me. And I praise him. I will praise him with every breath that I have in my body.
Amen.
I will do that. I praise the the Lord. Thank
Amen.
You,
thank you, Lord Jesus. I'd like to read something here. I kind of wrote down a little bit. It said, don't ever let anyone break your soul. You have to stand on your own two feet and fight the good fight. Many in the world would love to see you fall, but never give them that satisfaction. You hold your head up high. You put a smile on your face, and you stand your ground in the Word of God and the promises of God, and I promise you'll never fail, because God will never fail you, and He will never leave you down a path that will lead you to destruction. Trust in Him today. Amen.
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 Do you guys remember what happened September the 11th, 2001?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, that was on a Tuesday, and that's my mom's birthday every year, September the 11th.
Wow.
And we was blindsided that day. That was not a good day.
Most people can remember right where they was at and what they were doing when they found out about that. I can. I remember exactly what I was
doing.
I do,
too.
Everything. Mm-hmm.
Yes, me too.
Tragedy rained down on our country that day, you know. And that many people have called it the Terrible Tuesday. And mm-hmm. a lot of people refer to it as the Second Pearl Harbor, you know. But the death toll, and the fatality of it, you know. Oh, my goodness, you know. And that tragedy hit out of nowhere that day. The devil had it planned, you know. A friend of mine wrote a song about that day. And I'm going to have to fix you guys and put it on the site, a CD of it, and get that on there for you. Because that's and I'm sure he won't care, because I'll ask him, you know, before I do. I'm sure he won't mind at all. If he gives me permission,
that's
I'll
fine.
Do that. No. Yeah. And but tragedy hit that day, you know, and I mean, these people that it affected, they had to deal with that for the rest of their life, you know. I don't know how they deal with stuff like that right there without knowing the Lord. I can't do
Amen.
It.
Amen.
The only way I can, I'll be real about it, you know. It's real talk, and I'm going to be real about it, you know.
Right.
And my tragedies haven't been near as bad. I mean, they've been bad to me because they were my tragedies, you know.
Right.
And you think, well, marriage ain't bad to fail, but, hey, if that's your life and that's your heart, you know, it is, too. It's your tragedy. It's your pain.
Uh-huh.
It's your stuff. You know, it's personal. And but the people that has been affected by tragedies, they're real people, and their pain is real, just like we are, and our tears are real. And Jesus
yeah.
acknowledges the reality of suffering in John 16:33 there. Yeah, he acknowledges it. You know, so, yeah. I just pray
you know,
that people
like...
will...
Go ahead.
I just pray that people will open up their hearts today. Are you
yeah,
there, Jerry?
So too. No, he left. And...
Oh, okay, I thought he was still in there with us.
Oh, no,
you know,
he's probably listening.
I hope he's still with us listening. But, you know, in Judges there, I was reading early this morning my devotional, and I was reading about a very, and it was, and I hadn't even turned on the computer yet, and I seen what you decided to go, you know, with the program. And I thought, Lord, you're orchestrating things. You're putting everything together. But in Judges chapter 11 there, it's talking about a man there in the Bible. See, tragedy just don't hit in our world today.
Right.
It's been there since the beginning of time. You know,
yes.
Go to the Word of God. You will find stories in there that will tie with your everyday. Everything you'll ever go through, you will find something to relate to it in the Word of God. But in Judges chapter 11 there, I was reading this morning, and it starts about verse 29. It says, let's see here, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and he passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon, And it says, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. This man, Jephthah, made a vow to the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands. He wanted to win this battle. He was in a battle. He wanted to win this battle. And he made a vow to the Lord. And this is what he tells, you know, God, if you'll deliver them into my hands, this is what I'll do. Then it shall be that whosoever cometh forth of the doors of my house, he said, to meet me, whoever comes out of my door to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, surely, so he said, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. You know, he didn't even think about that when he made that decision to do that. And so Jephthah passed over the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. And he smote them, and it says it caused all the places, Aurora, even till thy come to Minnith, even 20 cities, about 22 cities is what I did my math on there, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a great slaughter. I mean, he killed many, you know, the bloodshed there, you know. Thus the children of Ammon was subdued before the children of Israel. They surrendered, the rest of them that was left surrendered, and God delivered into his hands, into Jephthah's hands, the children of Ammon. And Jephthah came to Mizpah and to his house, and when he got back home, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him, and she had timbrels and with dances. And I don't know if you know what timbrels are, but they're like tambourines, you know. Mm-hmm. And she came out, you know, joyous to see her dad and to greet him. And she was his only child. And beside her, he had no other children, no other sons nor daughters. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore, he rent. That's what the word rent means, his clothes, and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. He had to offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice. You know,
wow.
What a tragedy. I was reading that this morning, sis, and she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which proceedeth out of thy mouth. For inasmuch as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months. I go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity and I and my fellows. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. For 2 months, she done what she told her father she was going to do. And she went with her companions, and she bewailed her virginity up on the mountains. Yeah, she lost her virginity up on the mountains, you know. She knew she was going to have to die. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow. He couldn't go back on his vow. Be very careful what you promise the Lord. Be very careful. Be very careful what you ask him. I was in church a few years ago when I was a younger girl, you know, and there was a man got out and testified, and he said he would like for the church to pray for him to get this money, and it was way up there. He said, I had to have this amount of money. I had to have it. I don't care, you know, how I get it. I had to have it. And he asked the church to pray, and just a few days later, the church started praying, you know. And they told him they would, and we were all praying for God to make a way for him to get this money. And he told God he didn't care how he got it. And just a few days later, he backed over his little daughter in the driveway. And the money he got was money. I'm telling you, people, be careful what you promise the Lord. And this right here is a sad tragedy. You know, he made that promise, and he couldn't go back on it, that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah and the Gileadite 4 days in a row. And he had to do it. See, it was it came to pass in the end of the 2 months that she returned to her father, and he did according to the vow that he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel, see? It was a custom in Israel. She went for 2 months up there and took her virginity there. You know, she never knew a man. And she had to die because he had to burn his own daughter. Now, that's a tragedy, man. Yeah. And, you know, when I was reading that early this morning when I was doing devotion, I thought, wow, oh, my goodness. And when I seen that, Sister Shirley, that you posted on there, I thought, oh, Lord, how you're orchestrating things and putting things together. You do know what you're doing, Lord. You know what you're doing.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we just got to trust him.
Yes, we do.
Now, that was a tragedy happened way back then. They don't just happen today.
No, huh?
And we think, you know, it hurt me to lose my son. It hurt you, you know, to just know your daughter's going through all that. And that there was a possibility there that you could lose her, you know. And my goodness, think about it. To have to burn your own daughter because of a vow you made to God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would never make that vow. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stick to it.
He didn't think about it. It was so important to him, you know, to get that done and to win that battle and to have them surrender to him and to have that pleasure, you know, just a few minutes pleasure, you know. Look what he had to give up. Ooh, you know, be careful. Be careful.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned earlier, Sherry, that you don't know how people make it through tragedies in life and trials that come their way without not knowing the Lord, you know. I had to do that with the death of my son. I didn't know the Lord. I was running from him, you know. I knew of him. But I was running from him. I was too scared to go to him because I didn't know how. Nobody would show me. Of course, I never asked either. You know, the Lord says you have not because you ask not. But, you know, I didn't handle my son's death very well at all for 10 years. You know, I became a walking zombie, you know, just surviving or, you know, not even living. I didn't know how to live after that because, you know, I let all those feelings, like we were talking about, you know, when something happens in your life, in your family's life, you take on all those negative lies and deceits from the enemy. Well, it's your fault, you know. So even my own mother, she told me, it's your fault your son died. You killed your son. And I was like, what did she just say? And I cried out, you know, did I kill my son? Well, you know, I got to believe in her because she said I wasn't a good mother because I was in an adulterous situation, you know. And I believed my mother when she said that, and it hurt me so bad. And it was to the point where I got in my car one day, and I had just left her house when she said that, and I put my gas pedal down. And I don't know how far I was going, but my plans was to go over this bridge and just end my life and forget it because I couldn't live with the thought of believing that I had killed my son, which I didn't, you know. But at that time, I believed her, and which brings me to this, you know, sometimes our plans have to fall apart. You know, God could have let me go over that bridge. I could have died and went to hell, though. But he didn't have that plan for me. He said, in order for God's plan to unfold in my life, our plans have to fall apart. And that's what a lot of this is all about. You know, like you said, we have to reach bottom to reach up. You know, hit rock bottom to be able to look up or even reach up. And you're absolutely correct. And, you know, God's got, you know, he lets our plans fall apart to let us know that, hey, you ain't doing this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. No good thing will come apart from me. No good thing will come apart from me. And, you know, some of us don't look at it like that. We think like, okay, he's punishing us. What did we do wrong? Or he doesn't love us. You know, that's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. You know, God gave his only son, you know, to die on that cross for us. So I know better. I know that God loves me because he gave his life for me, his only son. you know. So I'm just here because we just got a few moments left, but I just want to share a few things that I had written down to give you guys some encouragement and to let you know, even if you're contemplating suicide or if you've had a tragedy or a loss of a loved one or a child in your life, or you're going through problems, you know, and trials in your marriage or in your own walk with the Lord, or deciding to walk with the Lord, or, you know, whatever your problem may be, I want you to remember this. Do not let people tell you that you cannot do something when the Bible clearly states, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I don't care what it is in your life that you're going through, but when you know God, you sure can go through life, because He will strengthen you and He will give you the strength that you need, and it's not your own strength. It'll be drawn from Him and be drawn from other people like Sherry and myself and Brother Jerry and others who are listening. And I said, you know, today I said, God, it's hard for me to see the finished picture of things that you have planned for our children. But I have no other hope but that you, God, know what's best and what is needed to happen, so that we will trust in you always and hope in you for the best for everything in our life. And that's something I just wrote from my heart today, and I just wanted to share that with you guys. And then in closing scripture, I just want to just quote 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper, in Isaiah 54:17. But you know, when it says that scripture in Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, God is love. God is strength and unconditional love. He's not the one that puts the fear in us or our children and our loved ones. It is the enemy. If you believe in God, then you must believe there is an enemy. There is a nasty, stinking devil who does nothing but come to steal, kill, and destroy any ounce of hope or life you have. But God, and it starts telling you this in Genesis 1:1, God gave us power and authority over everything in this earth. When He created Adam and Eve, we have power over the negative thoughts. We have power over the enemy when he comes against our children and our family. But above all, God gave us His love that's going to continue strengthening us and helping us to grow stronger and stronger and to trust in Him and His Word. And God gave us a sound mind. God did not give us that spirit to be afraid to step out and to reach out for help or to help someone else or even ask for help from yourself. And so I'm using 2 Timothy 1:7 for myself and my situation, for me and my daughter right now, in the name of Jesus. And we just pray that anybody that's going through this, that you would just reach out and step out in faith and trust that, you know, trouble don't last always, but it is going to come your way. And we just want you to be able to handle it and not be struck down to the ground where your face is there and you can't lift it up to even get a drink of water, you know. And that's a hard place to be, because I've been there. And it's just prayers, you know. Go ahead.
You know, if somebody out there says, I don't know this Lord you're talking about, you know, how do I talk to Him? How do I do this? I don't know how to do it. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. On down in Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you got to do is call upon Him. Call upon Him and let Him in your life. That's it right there.
Yes.
That's the key.
You know, the scripture,
Him, and the key. Amen.
The scripture that got me was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And even
He made that
child. Yeah, even as a child, Sherry, you know, like I said, I wasn't saved, you know, all the way up until, I don't know, 15 years ago, you know. And that scripture has stuck with me that long. That's the only scripture that has really, really stuck with me until you started reading the one where, I think you said it was in Isaiah, where the Lord has anointed me to preach the word, preach the gospel, yeah. That one and that one, and I was like, Lord, why'd you give that to me? He said, well, it helps you know that you're saved and forgiven and that I love you that much, you know. So John 3:16 is also a good one too. But you know, the sinner's confession is that Romans, you know, I think you said 9 and 8 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Romans 10 and 9. Yeah.
10:9. That's what it is. Yeah. 10:9.
Well,
you have like
okay.
5 minutes
out.
Left.
10 and 13.
Okay.
Those are the two right there to lead you to the Lord. That's it. That's it. That's your key right there.
Yes. So you just talk to him like you're talking to us right now, you know. And I know he'll make himself real in your life, and that he will help carry you through all these tragedies and disappointments and setbacks that you're going through. Doesn't make it any easier, but it does make it easier, if that makes sense, because now I have an outlet. I have someone I know I can really turn to, and I have his word with me, and it does make it easier, because for years I've had to handle things, you know, even the death of my son by myself. And that was a lonely place to be, a desolate place in the wilderness, which I don't want to ever go back to again. Caller, would you like to add anything in the next 5 minutes that we have?
Sorry, I lost communications.
That's okay.
Lord.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
But you know, you're never alone, even when you think you are, but you're never alone.
Amen.
Yeah.
Stop.
Even when you're not saved yet, you're still not alone.
Right.
He's just waiting there on you. You know, he's waiting on you. And when we go, we're all human, and it's going to happen to us, and we're going to go through tragedies. We got two choices to make on it. And that's to let it break you, which is destroy you, you know, or pick yourself up and decide, you know, that it's either going to make you or break you. Let it make you, you know, let the Lord, you know, and don't let it break you. Don't let it destroy you, because that's the enemy. Like I said, Spot the Stinker, that's exactly who he is. Gotta see
you. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'd like to ask everyone that you would lift my daughter Charity and Shalina and my son Dwayne and Ronnie up to the Lord for salvation and healing, especially for Charity right now. And this scripture can go right along with each and every prayer that we have to do for our children and for ourselves. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And that's Matthew 7:7. And I'm going to say it like this in a prayer way. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that it will be given to you, Lord, because we're seeking for your wisdom and we're seeking for your healing. We're seeking for your protection. We're seeking for your deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, it says in your word, Matthew 7:7, that if we knock, if we seek you, we're going to find you, because we're going to knock on your door. And Lord, we're knocking loud right now in the name of Jesus for each and every person on here who has suffered a tragedy or a loss, Father God. And you said that door is going to be open to us, Lord. Lord, I'm standing on Matthew 7:7 right now, Father, that these things that we ask, that you're going to deliver and you're going to provide for us, Father God, and you're going to strengthen us through our walk with you as we continue to go deeper and deeper into your word and deeper into the ministry to reach people for you. And Lord, we just ask that you just touch each and every heart today, Lord, because this is a hard subject to talk about today. So Lord, we just ask that you cover us with your love and your grace and your mercy, and help us to always remember that we have you. We have you as our strength, and we have you, Lord, that's going to protect us, and that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, because you, Heavenly Father, have our heart. You have us covered, Lord, with your love, and your love covers a multitude of sin. So, Lord, we just thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for Robin and Sherry and Brother Jerry being on here, Father. And we continue to pray over marriages and sin and sicknesses and death and distractions that come our way, Lord, because we know that through you we can do all things through Christ. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Well, this has been a pretty good, deep subject and a good show, and I appreciate all the input and all the experiences and all the love and support and everything. And don't think this is over, because I know I'm going to be fighting a little battle here, you know, off and on, and I'm going to have to rebuke that devil off of me and not have a pity. not have a pity party. So I will talk to you guys next time here on Live Talk, Real Talk, Shirley and Sherry, along with Healing Life's Hurts. And we thank you, we bless you in the name of Jesus, and we love you and know that you're not alone in your suffering and your pain. Jesus is right there, and we're here for you too. We're just a phone call away or a click of a button on the internet at Healing Life's Hurts groups on Facebook and Coffee Prayer and Share Time. Until next time, we say bless you, have a blessed day, and remember, you're not alone. Amen.
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 Be blessed.
All right.
Be blessed.
Yeah. You have a blessed day.
Till next
time. You too.
All right.